Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and this is the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants Monthly Healthcare Podcast Interview, sponsored by the Chicago Health Law and Litigation and Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates. On this program, we feature a variety of attorneys and experts in many areas of health law, litigation, and the regulation of healthcare professionals. Today's interview is with healthcare consultant Craig Evans. Craig focuses on healthcare information technology and the revenue cycle management. And in the patient billing and payment systems area, there are opportunities for us all to increase efficiency and return on investment, which can also benefit healthcare providers with regulatory compliance and the reduction of risk of errant and fraudulent medical billing through the implementation of proper healthcare practice management software. So the title of our program today is Healthcare IT and the Revenue Cycle Management Solutions and Safeguards. Topics we're going to cover on this 30-minute interview today with Craig Evans. We're going to talk about the challenges and opportunities in the healthcare revenue cycle and what we mean by that. Also, we're going to talk about things that healthcare practitioners can do about patient high deductible insurance plans. Also, we're going to cover the concept of how can a healthcare provider reduce their claim rejection rates, and also what kinds of data should practice managers be analyzing to best manage the revenue cycle. Again, I'm here with Craig Evans, and he helps healthcare practices streamline and maximize billing operations by selecting electronic medical record systems and starting new ventures. With over 30 years' experience, Craig has worked as independent hospital-based providers, worked with them to benefit them with a broad-based yet detailed understanding of workflow and reimbursement challenges in those healthcare practices. Craig presently works for Ebix Incorporated as a regional business development executive. After the program, if anyone wants more information or to get in touch with Craig, go ahead and give a call to the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants for connection there at area code 773-631-4580. As a general disclaimer, this is a general information program and all rights to the program are reserved. The listening to the program does not give rise to an attorney-client relationship. It also does not constitute legal advice with any of our programs. Of course, if you have specific questions, again, on anything we talk about today, you can be connected to one of our guests by dialing 773-631-4580 for the law firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates in Chicago. All right, so as we're getting going here, let's say hello to Craig Evans. Craig, if you could introduce, well, I introduced you already. Tell us a little bit about your background and what drove you to the opportunity to solve a lot of the problems in the billing systems for our healthcare professionals.
Well, thanks so much for this opportunity, Nick. I've been working with independent practices for 30 years, initially offering them software programs so they could do their billing on their own, and then electronic medical record systems as we moved into EMR, and then finally offering revenue cycle services that where I get to examine the whole flow of patients from scheduling through EMR to collections to help practices maximize their income and sometimes even provide better patient care. There are opportunities, as you explained, and challenges in the revenue cycle that practices need to be paying attention to these days. As everybody knows, reimbursements continue to shrink. Insurance companies place ever-increasing demands on providers regarding documentation, and it's important to pay attention to those things and use experts to help guide you to success.
Absolutely.
In the revenue cycle? Yeah. Go ahead.
There's so many. I was just going to mention that there are so many moving parts to even a small healthcare practice. And one of the things that we talk about on a lot of these programs is the talk of best efforts at compliance with so many of the regulations. And one of the things that we talk a lot about and write a lot about on the Favia Healthcare blog is the incident of Medicare, and I'm going to call it inadvertent Medicare fraud through billing practices. And, you know, when you have so many people in a healthcare practice, it's so important for one hand to know what the other one's doing, because even with the best lineup of people, you can every now and then have a failure in the system or a bad egg. And there's other people, whistleblowers out there who participate in a lot of these things. And our healthcare professionals are under a lot of stress. So I want people to be listening in terms of how these revenue solutions are going to help people reduce that level of risk, comply with what's required in their insurance policies, and all else. So you were talking about challenges and opportunities and the revenue cycle.
Yes, and you're right about coding. Many times those times that practices are non-compliant are in fact inadvertent. And the one of the common areas that people make mistakes is in the area of evaluation and management codes. There are very specific guidelines set down by Medicare many years ago that commercial carriers also adhere to, requirements that say what level of evaluation and management E&M code one qualifies for based on what you've documented in your encounter notes. If it's not in the documentation, it didn't happen. And so Medicare has hired RAC auditors that are paid a bounty for finding practices that are overcoding, charging Medicare more than what is documented in their note. And the fines are substantial, $22,000 per episode up to for non-compliant documentation practices. We also find practices in the course of our chart auditing services that because they're so afraid of overcoding, they undercode, and they're documenting a higher level of service than they actually billed for and are leaving money on the table. Likewise, there might be services that are being provided that are documented in the chart that aren't being properly billed. And so when we and other outside auditors work with a practice and examine their documentation procedures, we're looking for those things, both overcoding and undercoding, protecting them as well as additionally helping them find revenue at times. And then there's, before that you get to the point where you're coding, there's some critical areas on the day of service that need to be covered in these practices as well. Nick, do you think that's a topic of interest?
Absolutely. Whatever keeps our doctors in good stead.
Well, right. Eligibility, especially in the area where Mike Favia practices in the state of Illinois, Medicaid recipients have been assigned, sometimes without the patient even knowing, to a Medicaid HMO. They are providing the Medicaid service on behalf of the state of Illinois. Well, when that patient comes in, if you as the provider are not enrolled as a network provider for that particular flavor of Medicaid that patient has, and in some cases as early as 45 days after the date of service, if you don't find out who the correct Medicaid provider is, in that instance, you're not going to get paid at all. You can't bill the patient. You can't bill straight Medicaid. You're just out of luck. And this causes many practices to lose money by not checking that patient's eligibility very close to the date of service so they make sure that they're billing the correct carrier. A second aspect of of good collection work in the revenue cycle on the day of service is making sure that your front office staff are positioned to collect as much money on the day of service as they can. In the case of Medicaid and certain government programs, you can only collect a very limited amount. But for commercial insurances, you should be able to get at least an obligation from the patient to find out what the payment source is going to be after the insurance company has explained to you and the patient how much they're going to pay for the day's service. So you say to the patient, we'd like to know how you're going to take care of this balance after the insurance company has sent its explanation of benefits. Would that be on your HSA account or a credit card, a debit card? Well, we'd like to record that today. And then when the insurance company sends the explanation of benefits, we're going to send you an email and then debit the balance against that card. This methodology cuts down on the number of patient statements that get sent, which for the average small practice are very expensive, $1.50 to $2.50 per statement. It cuts down dramatically on the accounts receivable and increases the likelihood that the patient is going to pay at all. And that's an opportunity on the day of service for your staff who are counseled properly in the procedures that you and policies that you put into place.
If I can just jump in here, Craig, so eBICS and what you can provide for our healthcare practitioners is counseling and consulting in addition to software. So just to be clear that we're not just talking about software.
Right. We're primarily in the service business, Nick. We're consulting with them, and we're going after those claims that have been sent on the doctor's behalf to affect payment from the insurance companies. We're encouraging them and consulting with them on this day of service methodology that I just spoke of. But then after the claim is sent, we're following up on those claims, which is kind of the second leg of the service that we provide. And another area of opportunity for practices to collect money. In this area of high deductible insurance plans, that collecting money on the date of service or getting an obligation to collect it is very important. But the second part of what any good revenue cycle management effort must entail is to follow up on the claims that are submitted. You make sure they're clean. You make sure that you have the right codes, that you've checked the eligibility, that you've collected as much as you can on the date of service. And then once you send the claim, it has to be followed up on. And practices oftentimes, or the people that are serving them, oftentimes don't do their due diligence and follow up on those claims in a timely fashion. And causes a drop in income and damages the practice. So you want to make sure as a provider that you have good managers or a good company that's following up on insurance claims.
Which I'm you know, also, well, the insurance claim is a sort of a separate deal, but just following up generally, you have a good opportunity with everyone you're dealing with. I always think anytime you have an opportunity to keep good relations and positive relations with whether it be a patient, an insurance provider, or you know, any other entity involved in the process, that encourages goodwill, repeat business, people who have good relations. I mean, the part of that customer service element that's so important. You know, those of us in the field of law, it's about referrals, but that also is true in medicine and healthcare as well. So, again, a good opportunity not to miss.
Marketing and managing the reputation of your practice in everything that you do is increasingly vital to having a healthy practice. You're right on point with that, Nick.
And moving on, as you were saying.
Yes. So those claims, 30% of the claims that get sent, have to have some follow-up done on them. And so what EBICS does is we'll call the carriers, we'll look up those outstanding claims on the carrier website to find out why they're hung up in the process. This work, it's tedious, it's time consuming, but it means a difference between profit and just staying afloat on many instances. Then on the back end, what practices need to do is also stay in touch with what the reports that are coming out of their practice management software. AR can tell you where you need to focus, where your resources need to be, your accounts receivable, why are carriers dragging their feet, which claims are they dragging their feet on. Reports can give you this information. But reports and data analytics can also tell you, all right, I've got multiple locations. How are they doing from a production standpoint versus the cost that they have overall to my practice? Likewise, how are the individual providers doing in my practice compared to one another and or national averages? Are they seeing the right kinds of patients? Is our practice as a whole, do we have the right mix of insurance company arrangements that we have in place? Or are some of our locations have a higher percentage of carrier payments that are really below where we want to be? You could have one particular location in your practice that has a high percentage of Medicaid and Medicare patients, and as everybody in the healthcare business knows, it's difficult to have a good profit margin when you have 50, 60, even 70% of your patients coming from government paid programs, because those are the ones with the lousiest reimbursement. So you want to make sure on the data analytics side that your reports aren't just reams of paper that don't really give you the management insight that you need, but that they represent the distillation of that data down to something that is really usable from a management perspective.
All right. So if we can, we have about 12, 15 minutes to continue talking about high deductible insurance plans and claim rejection rates, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about practice managers being analytic to best. Well, we kind of covered that just now, managing the revenue cycle. But let's talk a little bit more, if you have more to offer on what can healthcare practices do about patient high deductible insurance plans.
Well, it's an unfortunate situation that most practices, especially those that have been established for quite some time, they don't know what in carrier networks they're in anymore. And so the patient gives the insurance card. The practice may anticipate that they're, as an example, going to get paid the full $200 amount of the charge for today's service, when in reality, that carrier, it might be somebody they've never even heard of, has gone to one of the carriers that you do know and, in effect, rents their provider network from that carrier.
Oh.
And so, yes, and so you'll suddenly get a explanation of benefits from a carrier that maybe you didn't think you had a contract with, And at the bottom of the explanation of benefits, they'll say, well, we're taking a discount of half off of your charge because of the relationship that you have with XYZ carrier.
And this would be a surprise for someone in a small practice, especially when we're cash flow sensitive and have bills to pay.
That's right. And so I've met with practice managers in the Chicago area who have stood up and said, you know, we just don't know what networks we're in anymore, and we can't control it. It'd be a full-time job to reach out to these carrier networks and find out whether you're considered to be a network provider or not. So you don't know whether you're going to get your fee discounted. Then when the patient does come in, and let's say you do know that you're in the network. Well, the carriers are quite evasive for independent practices in particular, and don't tell them exactly what they're going to pay them. Or they don't tell them, and they don't tell them what the allowed amount is going to be. And what that means then is on the date of service, even in January, when you know the patient's got a $5,000 deductible, you still can't accurately predict what that patient's out-of-pocket expense is going to be. And so that's where this methodology that I spoke of in the beginning of our discussion becomes so important. Because now, let's say that $150 that insurance company contract is going to allow, if you can get an obligation from the patient on the day of service for that $150, you're likely to get paid 30, 60, maybe even 90 days faster than if you had without getting that agreement into place. And so to make this additional revenue happen, you have to counsel with the people at the front desk, who admittedly oftentimes are the entry-level people that you have in a practice, which makes this conversation with the patient a little more challenging to pull off, but vital nonetheless. And heck, give them a script, Mr. Patient. How would you be taking care of this balance after the insurance company has explained?
Right, and as you explained, if you can certainly answer that question, you're avoiding uncertainty, and people don't like the "I have no idea" answer. So to be able to tell them what they're dealing with, because people are, you know, even if you have insurance, you're still going to be paying out of pocket depending on what kind of policy you have. So people are sensitive about, you know, the bottom line, and we, you know, people may be averse to going into doctor if they say, well, I have no idea if I can afford the visit today. So very important. Let's move to claim rejection rates and how healthcare providers can reduce those claim rejection rates with the services provided by yourself and EBIX.
Eligibility is key to reducing claim rejection rates. As I explained, you have to know what the correct carrier is. You have to verify with a great deal of certainty, exactly the destination point for the claim that you're going to send to the carrier. And then you have to use proper coding procedures. In our case, we use a software program that is linked to our practice management software that goes through each of the CPT procedure and ICD-10 diagnosis codes that are going to be sent to the carriers with that claim, and check them for thousands of edits, patient insurance specific edits, edits specific to their gender, demographic information. There's checking to see that certain codes can't be sent on the same claim with other kinds of codes. And you check those before you even send the claim out, because if you have to wait for the rejection and then resend additional documentation to affect the payment, it takes a lot more time. And so you want to try to trap those errors in the beginning. So eligibility, proper coding, complete verification of the patient's demographic information, as well as the information for the insurance subscriber, as well, and there's a couple of important factors there. For the insurance subscriber, if let's say it's a family and there's multiple carriers that might be involved, it's important to identify the date of birth for the insurance subscriber, because the date of birth determines whose insurance is primary. If there's multiple, say a husband and wife each have their own insurance, the one whose date of birth is the first one in the year becomes the primary insurance company if they're both covered. So you want to verify all those things in an attempt to stave off rejection. And then, the carriers will oftentimes take a few dollars away here and a few dollars away there. And whenever you can figure out that you have received a substandard payment, you want to have the kinds of software tools that enable you to file an appeal on that claim with the least amount of labor. And we happen to use... EBIX uses a claims clearinghouse system that, with the touch of a button, we can refile a claim, an appended claim, asking for additional reimbursement for that $10 when we might not have been able to afford it if we had to file it manually on paper.
I just think about the demands on professionals today, and it's, can you practice your profession with a one hand behind your back? Now, how about doing it on one leg? Now, do it while you're answering the phone while I also talk to a patient. And there's a lot there, and especially, in the oversight of everything that's going on. If you're someone who is in a position of authority and managing other folks in a healthcare practice, so many stresses. In our last few minutes, let's talk a little bit more about practice managers and the kinds of data that practice managers should be looking at and analyzing to make sure that they're best managing their revenue cycle. We touched on some of this before, but we can kind of follow up on a few of those things to wrap out. And any other final details you wanted to offer?
Yes. I did talk about what to do with the data analytics, but an important thing for a good practice manager would be to understand what's happening in reimbursement, particularly as it relates to new legislation called MACRA, which affects every Medicare provider that sees more than 100 Medicare patients, discrete Medicare patients. It affects all of them. If they ignore MACRA in 2017, then in 2019, their Medicare reimbursements will be reduced by 4%. And that's going to ratchet up to 9% reduction if they continue to ignore the MACRA legislation. That's probably a topic for another discussion, but it's something that should be paid attention to if you see Medicare patients and you want to keep your reimbursements the same. So I would strongly urge medical office managers who are listening to look up MACRA and learn about it.
Absolutely. Now, Craig, when you go talk to what types of groups do you talk to when you're sharing some of this information? So if someone's listening, wants to call Mike Fabia's office and get connected with you, how does it look like when you come talk to people who say, maybe we want to take a look at some of these things, maybe the software and the systems we're using, and maybe we don't, maybe all we have is software and not someone, live people to back up some of the consulting needs that we have?
I look at the revenue cycle, the patient flow from the beginning to the end. I'll take the timeline and pick apart the details of every element in that process, from scheduling through eligibility, through coding, through claim submission, through the flow of paperwork and whose hands it ends up in, and then who's following up on the claims and who's analyzing the data and what action plans do they have in place. So I'll go a kind of a chronological order through everything, identifying those areas where there could be improvement, and then applying a plan to attack those particular areas of pain, and then crafting a solution to address those things that make sense financially and make sense in the results that it's going to achieve.
Right, and also helps, again, on our side, we're talking about reducing some of the anxiety of the liability that can go wrong. And, what is your – I know on the compliance side, we always think of, well, what does our insurance policy have to say about our own liability when it comes to billing and claims? And, there's so much in the world of compliance that, I can see how much anxiety this would cause. And also when a lot of the rules and regulations are always changing, the software is always updating. It's like moving targets. It's like the moving shooter to the moving target situation. So definitely something that so many practice managers are so busy keeping up with. Any final thoughts you'd like to share before we say goodbye today, Craig?
Medicare and our recommendation would be that a practice use an outside firm to analyze the documentation for 25 encounters per provider per year. You want a written report that describes how the documentation compares to what was proposed to be billed or what was billed. It's oftentimes, if it's done retrospectively after the claim has gone out, that be filtered through your attorney so that it's the findings are protected by client attorney privilege, and use that as a guideline to improve your documentation processes and protect yourself from possible negative Medicare or, for that matter, commercial carrier audit.
And just one of those words that we just kind of cringe at when we hear, but that's why we talk about all this, and that's why we have a great list of people put together at Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants through the Chicago Health Law and Litigation Licensing firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates. It's really like I think about a big wagon wheel and the spoke in the middle with all of these different people who are involved in the process of everything healthcare, law, and compliance, which is a very big system I've learned over the years working on all this. So there's a lot of people involved, a lot of moving parts, and the best thing to know is the best person to help find the information that we all need to run our practices successfully and have a good life. I want to remind again people remind people for the first time who find this program in social media channel or through LinkedIn, maybe through the blog page for Fabia and Associates or newsletter. And Craig, you can share this all as well. Go ahead and share this information with people in your networks because it's useful, it's good, and many people might be looking for exactly this type of a resource, and we just don't know it. So with the world of social sharing, we always appreciate that in the professional context. Again, if you want to learn more about Craig Evans, please give a call to area code 773-631-4580. And again, this is Nick Augustine for the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants Monthly Healthcare Podcast Interview, sponsored by Michael B. Fabian Associates. I'd like to say thank you again, Craig, for your time, and hope that everyone has a good day. Again, Craig, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Nick.
All right. If there's new and wonderful developments, you be sure to let us know.
Will do.
All right. Goodbye now. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.